Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife in.
How we doing on this Monday morning? Back at it. Getting ready for the week. And unfortunately, no more Knick games to break down. No more games to go over. No more games to preview. It is over. It ended on Saturday night, game 6 in Indiana as a close first half, although still sloppy for the Knicks, but they managed to keep it close. They shut down Halliburton, which was a big thing for me that I wanted to see early in the game. They got a lot of offensive rebounds from Mitchell Robinson and second chance points, and you just thought, keep it close. The same mantra we've been saying this entire postseason for the New York Knicks, keep it close, keep it close. And unfortunately, they came out in the third quarter and did anything but. They were terrible. Again, turnovers, even from Jalen Brunson, who I thought was extremely sloppy in this game, 5 turnovers, I think 17 turnovers on the game that led to 30-plus points. It was just fast breaks off of makes. I've never seen that in my life. I've been watching a lot of basketball. I don't know if I've ever seen as many fast break layups off of made shots. They would get a layup and boom. It's right down the court for a made layup from Indiana. I don't know if I've ever seen it as impactful in a game and series as we did in this series with the Indiana Pacers. I mean, the defensive effort was nowhere near what it was in game number 5. Karl Anthony Towns and the drop back defense off the screens was just giving up open threes. The Indiana Pacers, look, they shot well. Anytime you shoot 50% from three, you don't always make nothing but wide open shots, but too many open threes, especially down the stretch, open corner threes. You got the dagger, of course, as Obi Toppin hits a big three-pointer that kills them. Just a devastating, disappointing, ugly game number 6, especially the second half, where they just crumbled and gave the game away. And to me, that's what makes this tough, man. What makes it tough is you don't feel like you were beat. And maybe that's not fair to the Indiana Pacers. Maybe it's not. But it doesn't feel that way. It feels like they gave it away. Clearly, they gave up game 1, which is something that it's tough to get over. It's tough to not, you know, as a fan, it's impossible not to go back to that moment and just wonder what would have happened if they would have found a way to hold a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. If they just hold that lead, this series could have been different. Now, they didn't play consistently well enough to make me think for 100% sure it would have been different. Because who knows the desperation the Indiana Pacers play with in Game 3 had they lost Game 1. I don't know. But I know that that is a impossible thing, and this team proved. Unfortunately, this team proved they are not good enough to overcome a loss like that in a series against a team like the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers are too good, and the Knicks aren't good enough to overcome that loss in Game 1. And I can't help but say it now, even though there was moments of positivity, I felt better after Game 3. I felt a little bit better after Game 5. I still believed in this team. Going back, I feel foolish because this series was over when they blew that lead. It's what it feels like today. That doesn't excuse all the things that happened between then and now, but because that second half was ugly in Game 6 on Saturday night, but it just felt like we were spinning our wheels. Feels like that now, that we were just spinning our wheels, getting as many last rides and fun times out of a series that was dead after Game 1. And now, obviously, we've spent a lot of time on the coach. This is going, because now once you get past that, and we'll have more time for this. It doesn't have to be completely finished in the next 51 minutes, but we'll have more time for this as we go on. How did this Knicks team improve? Because they clearly need to improve. I mean, all of us think the Indiana Pacers are going to get just absolutely manhandled in the NBA Finals against OKC, and I think most of us probably think the Knicks would have as well. So they're not good enough to even get to the NBA Finals. They're certainly not good enough to win the NBA Finals. How do they get better? How does this team continue to improve? Year one with this new regime, year one with Karl-Anthony Towns, year one with Bridges, failed. It was still a very, to me, it's hard to call it a failed season. They did win one of the great series in franchise history and beat a team nobody thought they could beat. That's tough to call it a failure when they get to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years, but the ultimate goal is to win an NBA championship. This group failed at it. How do they improve? How do they get better? How do they make it work between Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time? These two dynamic offensive players, how do they join to become a dynamic duo? How do they figure out how to make this offense click while they're both on the floor and play a two-man game? How do we figure that out? How do they find a way to be more consistently better defensively? How do they give, because they gave good defensive efforts throughout the series. The Indiana Pacers are averaging what? .117 or so? Like they found a way to shut them down and make them score 94 points in game number 5. There's been times and moments where they have found a defensive effort. But how do they get better consistently defensively? How do they give better effort? How does this team obviously build a bench worth, or at least up to Tibbs worth playing? And he's got to play more. He's got to evolve. And I know we've spent a lot of time on Tibbs, and the fan base feels a certain way about it. And we've all had criticisms of him. The Minute Police are not new. I've been part of it. I've been frustrated at times with how limited the bench plays. I've been frustrated at times how much the starters play, especially coming off of last year when it felt like, they couldn't even get to the finish line, let alone, stumble through it. They couldn't even get there. So we've had our issues. I've had our issues with them. I've talked about side out of bounds plays. I've talked about out of timeouts. I've talked about all these offensive adjustments that I felt are lacking with the coach. I think that's all fair. But what else is fair is he's turned around the franchise. He's made the playoffs 4 out of 5 times. He's had 3 consecutive years of winning at least one round, and he just beat the unbeatable on his way to the first Eastern Conference in 25 years. I think it's a bit premature to say the coach has to go. There's got to be a way for him to adapt, this team to adapt, Leon Rose to make it a little bit better and go back at this thing next year with a full season and a big-time long playoff run under their belt to make them better next year. How do they go about doing that? Many of you think that starts with firing the coach. I do not. I would be very disappointed if Tibbs is not the head coach of this team next year. 888-808-1019. But they clearly got to get better. And they ruined our Saturday. We should be getting all pumped up for a game number 7. Instead of trying to figure out how the hell to get better after losing a disgusting, ugly game where... And listen, Jalen Brunson doesn't get absolved of blame in this either. He was terrible in this game. He had his moments in the series, scored 40 points in the series, but ultimately, just not enough. Not good enough. Sloppy with the basketball, turnovers. Carl Anthony Towns, not good enough. Terrible defensively. Not aggressive enough going to the basket. Missing 3 of 4 free throws. Just flat out not good enough in every way. Other than Mitchell Robinson getting offensive rebounds, the Knicks were not good enough on Saturday night. The Pacers took it to them. The Pacers were the better team. And don't get me wrong, the Pacers deserve to win. But it really does feel like it's a gut punch. It's worse. If they would have lost to the Boston Celtics, as much as we would have missed out on the joyous nature that we all had after winning that series, at least you could have said, hey, look, they were the better team. They were clearly the better team. They're defending champs. Knicks couldn't beat them all year. Tough loss. How the hell do we get better? But having made it through that, having the opportunity to have it feel like the doors have parted, the red carpet has been laid out, here's our path to the first NBA Finals since 1999. It's right there. You don't have to worry about Cleveland. You've already beaten Boston. This is a great opportunity, one that we will, as Knicks fans, and that's the other thing I fear, that we will regret not making it to the NBA Finals this year. It's been a tough go of it to get to this spot. It's been 25 years in the making. I don't know when they're going to get back here. I don't know. And to feel like this was all squandered, not because the Pacers are far better than the Knicks, not because the Knicks can't hang with the Pacers, not because they dominated the series, but because the Knicks squandered it. Because the Knicks gave away game one, because the Knicks couldn't figure out how to play defense and not turn the ball over. The Pacers played a good series. The Pacers were the better team. The Pacers deserved to win. The Knicks were awful. And it's tough to end the season after that win against Boston to watch them play this way the rest of the way. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls. Taking you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Let's go to Fred in Fresh Meadows. What's up, Fred?
Hey, Chris. Obviously, I share your disappointment, but I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But I want to give you three stats to try to help put this in perspective in terms of how stuff can happen and how ultimately, you know, the results really rely more on the players than the coach. Mm-hmm. So and this is from a famous Game 7 at Madison Square Garden of the Eastern Conference Finals. So stat number one I'm going to give you, the Knicks shot 21 for 30. From the free throw line. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about shooting yourselves in the foot.
Yep.
A future Hall of Famer in Game 7 at the Garden shot 3 for 13 from the field. And another future Hall of Famer, also considered Mr. Clutch, shot 5 for 13 from the field. Those two Hall of Famers were Dave DeBuscher and Walt mm-hmm. Frazier. The game was 1971 when the Knicks were the defending champions playing the Baltimore Bullets at home. They lost by 2 points, and they had beaten the Bullets 2 times in a row in the playoffs. And if they made it to the finals, they really matched up well against the Bucks. So they basically threw away an opportunity to go back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if WFAN had existed back then, and social media, people probably would have been calling for Red Holtzman's head, which, of course, is nuts. And, you know, that brings me to, and, you know, I think we're pretty much in agreement on this. The majority of the failure here has to fall on the players' heads.
I agree. No, I completely agree.
And there were mental lapses out there in terms of turnovers, in terms of getting back that I can't put on Tibbs. I got to put on the carelessness of the players. And look, I love Jalen Brunson, and like you, I agree, he should be the one untouchable. I mean, to me, the second guy who I would be reluctant to get rid of, but I agree with you, everyone's, you know, be on the trading block potentially, but is OG Anunoby, because to me, he reminds me of DeBuscher, and he has his tough shooting days at times, but like DeBuscher, he has brilliant shooting days and great in defense. And I guess what I'm saying is I just can't fathom why anyone at this point be thinking get rid of Tibbs.
Yeah, I'm with you, Fred, and thank you for the call. I don't disagree. And I'm not I don't know. I think you gave wrong numbers for the free throw. I think it was even worse than what you said. They were 17 for 26 from the free throw line. 17 of 26, 65% in game number six. And Karl-Anthony Towns in specific was 6 for 10. And he missed 3 of 4 down the stretch when the game was still kind of in the balance. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And I don't know if you noticed this too. He stared. I don't remember him ever looking this long at the basket, and it felt like the last couple of playoff games, he just stares at the rim for 30 seconds. I'm like, bro, just shoot it. Stop thinking. You could tell he was in his head. He just had an awful game. He had an awful game. And that's on him. That's on him. They brought him here to be a star that changes. Like everyone wants him off the floor. I was listening, and I think they do a great job. The Knicks TV, you know, the franchise. He does a really good job. He's on with Evan and Tiki a lot. I think he does a great show. I was listening to a little bit of the podcast, and they were talking about getting Karl-Anthony Towns off the floor. You got to get him off the floor. I'm like, okay. I'm pretty sure he had like 4 points heading into the fourth quarter of game number three. What if Tibbs would have said, you know what, we got to keep Karl-Anthony Towns off the floor. He's killing us. Because Karl-Anthony Towns went on to win the damn game. Almost single-handedly. Like, you got to play your guys, man. You got to. You can't give me Tyler Kolek, and you can't tell me Karl-Anthony Towns can't be on the floor. I mean, you can't tell me, oh, you know, Josh Hart. These are the guys. This is their team. They played great all year to win 51 games and get them to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they blew it. It's not to eliminate any blame for Tibbs, but it's much more on the players than it is him. Mike in Chicago. What's up, Mike? Mike, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, you there, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I love your show.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, what I say about, we had Tibbs in Chicago for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was 116 games above 500.
Yep.
But he could never get, he has his favorite. That's his problem. He has his favorite players, and he plays them to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I mean, he made the adjustment in New York. I mean, he made the adjustment in this series. He played right. He played Shamit.
Yes, but you know what? New York is a better team than Indiana. There's no question about that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody stepped up. Yes, I love Brunson, but, you know, he had Derrick Rose, who would have been a Hall of Famer if he wouldn't have got hurt.
Yeah.
And they could never get over that hump.
I get that. And what happened? So then when Tibbs left, it clearly helped, right?
Yeah, well, of course. But he went to Minnesota. He was there for 3 years, and they let him go.
No, I know. It got a little ugly there, no doubt, and there was some issues with him and the players. But again, then he left Minnesota, and they got better, right?
Yes, they did, yes.
Really?
But you know what?
I don't think they did. They didn't get better. It took another 3 years. They got worse. Then they've built it up, and now they've been the two Western Conference Finals. But what? And they haven't gotten over the hump necessarily. And what happened in Chicago? The Bulls got better after he left. The Bulls finally got rid of that albatross around their neck that is Tom Thibodeau, and they went right to the NBA Finals. Like that's my only argument with this. Like we keep saying he couldn't get over the hump, just couldn't get over the hump. Maybe he coached a team that didn't belong there and took them as far as they possibly could go. Maybe. Just maybe. Because it's not like, again, when he left, and I don't mean to keep knocking on Buck Showalter because it comes up every time I have this conversation, but like and I love Buck, but you can make the argument as, you know, for Buck Showalter took the Yankees. Now, whether he should have been fired or not is a different story, but Buck Showalter took the Yankees to the ALDS and then lost the wild card round and lost. And then Joe Torre comes in and wins a championship. He takes the Arizona Diamondbacks to a certain level. He gets fired, and Brantley wins the World Series. Like, two different times. He had the team to a certain point. They brought in another coach. That coach win the championship. You want to talk maybe Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson had the Golden State Warriors. They were good. They were improving. They were getting better. They were still young, but they were good. They were getting better. For whatever reason, he got fired. Steve Kerr comes in, takes him over the hump. The teams bottomed out after Tibbs left. Tibbs came there. They were bad. Tibbs got them better. Tibbs made them relevant. Tibbs gets them into the playoffs. Ultimately, they don't win. Tibbs gets fired. Those teams get worse. That is not a scenario that paints the picture of clearly Tibbs is the kind of coach that can't get over the hump. That just means Tibbs hasn't won yet. That's all that means. That's all that means. Collins in Chicago has Michael Jordan. They struggle. They lose in the playoffs despite Jordan scoring 60 points in the Boston Garden. They bring in Phil Jackson. They win championships. You can make the case that Doug Collins was the kind of coach that couldn't get you over the hump. I don't know if that's fair or not, but at least you can make the case. There is an example of he leaves, someone comes in, and wins with that group. Tibbs does not have that example. You can't point to it and go, oh, well, Tibbs had this great team, couldn't get it done, and then they figured it out without him. They got worse. They fell apart. The Bulls still haven't recovered. It's an invalid argument.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
So to the point of Tibbs not winning in Chicago, let's just stick with the Chicago Bulls. He takes over a team that was 500 the year before with Vinny Del Negro. His first year there, they win 62 games. They're 62-20. They lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Heat with LeBron James. And Dwayne, you know, the big three, the Heatles, as they like to be called, which I find an offensive nickname, but I'll go with it. The second year, they lose, they win, they go 50-16. That's the, they lose in the first round because Rose blows his knee out. The next year, without Rose, they go 45-37. They lose in the Eastern Conference final semis. Yeah, so the semifinals, I'm sorry. So the second round. And that was to the Heat again, right? So they've lost to LeBron James twice now. And obviously, he goes on to win the NBA championship that year. Then they lose again in the first round. And they were a 48-34 team, and they lost to the Wizards, who were the 5 seed. They were the 4 seed. They lost to the Wizards. That was the 5 seed. Okay. They won 4 more games than the Wizards that year. They lost in the playoffs. I'll give them that one. Then next year, with the Jimmy Butler, no more Rose, they lose to the... Rose is back, I'm sorry. Yeah, but Butler, Boozer, like that Bulls team, they get to the Eastern Conference semis again, the second round, and they lose to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he had, in that stretch of the 5 years, he lost to a LeBron James-led team that went to the NBA, he, in the middle of the stretch of LeBron James going to the NBA Finals 8 consecutive seasons. And Rose blew out his knee for in the playoffs, and then the next year without him, wasn't the same player when he came back, and then with Jimmy Butler, lost again to LeBron James, who was in the middle of a dominant phase of his career where he went to 8 consecutive NBA finals. I'm not saying that he's the greatest coach in the world. I'm just saying the idea that, you know, he's never gotten over the hump like he's, you know, he's supposed to have, or that they had some unbelievable team. They had some good regular seasons, no doubt. They were the 1 seed. They won 60 games and lost to the Heat. They lost to one of the great collections of talent the league's ever seen. They created the big three. Like, there's no shame in that game. Ben in Princeton, New Jersey. What's up, Ben?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. I'll be better. But real quick, listen. Tuned in and was listening to you. And I'm not going to say this was a great season, right? But I'm not going to say this was a failure neither.
I think failure is a bit strong. I agree.
Right. Now, I know as Knicks fans, we're in our feelings, but it has been a successful season by this measuring stick. If you look at the past 3 seasons, it's been building blocks. We lost twice the past 2 seasons in the semis, right? We lost in Game 7 last year with an injured team. This year, we lost in the conference finals. First time we get there in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
New team, but we lost in Game 6. There's levels to this process, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
if you look at in NBA history, you know, some of these teams that went on to win championships and become dynasties, it took them a minute. Just look at the Celtics. It took them a minute to get to that level, to get to that pinnacle. You get what I'm saying? So,
I do. There is something to it, and he made it the step further. He got back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that was the bare minimum when we started the year. We said, get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And he did it. And look, I'm not going to call it a failure of a year either. The ultimate goal is always, right, when you're as good as the Knicks are and you've reached the point where you know you're going to be the 3-4 seed at the very least, right, aspirations for maybe the 1 or 2, but at least going to be the 3-4. You're going to win a first round of the playoffs. That's who they've become now. The ultimate goal is to win the NBA championship. That's what they're here for. That's what this is about. So the ultimate goal did fail. But I don't know if I can call the season a failure. As ugly and as pissed off as ugly as that game was, and as pissed off as I am today, I don't know if I can call it a failure. I'm not thrilled with it at the moment, but beating the Celtics was a enormous win. Enormous win. And Tibbs was part of it. Mike in Flatbush. What's up, Mike?
What's up, C-Mac? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. I called you on Saturday about Brunson versus Halliburton and if you were going to start a team, who would you take? But before I get back on that horse, I just want to ask you, do you think that Knicks fans, in general, are, if not rooting for the Pacers, would feel a whole lot better if they made this upcoming series much closer than the betting lines would suggest? Is that an obvious point? Like a probably a banal point, because then that means that the obstacles are, they don't seem like there's two insurmountable humps to get over. It's, oh, we're a lot closer to OKC in the West than we thought. Is that cold water, you think?
No, if what betting lines? I missed your point.
If the Pacers made it a much better or
series?
Even win.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't care. Not really, no. I mean, there was a time, there's always, that's the question, right? Do you want to say you lost to the eventual NBA champions, so you just caught them earlier? Like, because that's, when I was a kid, that was kind of like my thing, especially with the Yankees. It was like, all right, if they lose, I want the team that they lost to go win the championship, so I could say that. I could say, Hey, the Angels went on to beat the Giants. They won the championship. We just caught them in the first round or whatever. But no, I don't think it's going to make me feel any better if the Pacers go out there and play well. It's really not. Because it doesn't change the fact that the Knicks played poorly, and I feel like they really, threw this series away. That's not going to change no matter how well. All it's going to do is annoy me and say, maybe the Knicks could have done this. Even though I don't think they would, I don't think the Pacers are. David in Queens. What's up, David?
Top of the morning.
Top of the morning to you, Dave.
Top of the morning. Oh, man. Such a... I don't know how to feel exactly about this loss. Uh-huh. But with all the negativity I've been hearing since the show started and people calling, and like, we're talking about a winning coach here for me.
No doubt.
We're talking about a winning coach here that in the past 2 years we have been, he has been successful and we're only getting better. So I do not understand why people are like, oh, like new coach. I'm like, wait, hold up, man. Of course we want results, but we've been getting results. We are contenders. We've been contenders. We are in the talks about good. Like, we were not being talked about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We were a joke. We're no longer a joke. We are contenders,
oh,
and
no
I'm
doubt.
More than happy with it. So I just, it was a really tough series. And we had everything going for us, and then everything just went down.
Yeah.
But I am happy. I'm happy. I am very happy for what the Knicks did. And I am only, and it's not like this feeling where I'm like, oh, we're going to suck next year. No, we are improving. The numbers are saying that we are improving. And just one last thing. Can somebody please, for the love of everything that's holy, tie OG's shoes? Like, every time I see this guy going for the hole and he just fumbles, can somebody please tie his shoe?
You know what?
Oh, my
God. There was a couple things, and thank you for the call. There's a couple things in this series, specifically by players, I just don't understand. I don't understand. One, to your point, OG Anunoby, it was a little bit better in this game. He actually attacked the basket a couple times in this game. His confusion or indecisiveness when attacking the rim was mind-boggling to me. How many times did we see him go up and, like, he wasn't sure if he wanted to dunk it or lay it in, or, like, he was around the rim. He was just awful, and it was hard to explain. And then the other two are obvious and major talking points of this series. One, why Karl Anthony Towns persisted on making the dumbest fouls you've ever seen. He didn't have really any in game number 6, but throughout the entire series, He just had these stupid fouls that would put him in foul trouble. I can't understand why he continued to do it. And then not necessarily, you know, a great passer. I mean, he's okay, but like all of a sudden, Josh Hart unable to complete a pass. Like he turned the ball over on almost every time he touched it, it felt. So like those three things just jump out at me. And some of them like intermingle. Like the Knicks on a fast break with numbers, they had no idea what to do. They were either missing layups, getting their shots blocked, or stepping out of bounds before threes. Like it was unbelievable how bad they were on fast break sometimes. Like they don't know how to handle, just go to the basket and slam it down. Like I don't understand. What is so confusing? And OG Anunoby has stone hands, man. A couple of these passes, or offensive rebounds that come to him, or loose balls that come to him, suddenly end up back on the floor. Like, just pick it up. Catch that pass in game one, and we might be having a conversation about game seven tonight. Corey in Freeport. What's up, Corey?
Steve Mack. What's going on,
brother? What's up, brother? How are you?
Good. I'm good. I just want to give you a quick shout out. You and Keith got me into the program. I just started overnight a few months ago, and been listening ever since. Me and you guys are great. You, Laurie, and Boomer in the Morning.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
No problem. I just want to make a few quick points. Tibbs, I think we give him two more years. Jalen Brunson, he's 28. We got to give him to at least he's 30. If you're not gonna keep Tibbs, you need somebody like Steve Kerr. Somebody of that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If Spoelstra wants to be the head coach of the New York Knicks, I mean, you know, I'll maybe revisit this because you want to get one of the great head coaches in the NBA right now. You know, like I understand. I don't know about 2 years. I don't want to commit to anything other than next year. I just can't fire him this year. If next year they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, next year is worse. Next year they take a step back. Like anything could happen next year. But and you mentioned Jalen Brunson. We played the audio earlier. You know, everyone saw it. He's asked about whether or not Tibbs is still the coach. He was actually asked in a very benign way. Can we actually, Mike, can we play that one more time? If you can find it. Because he's asked about whether or not Tibbs is the guy. And I found it interesting because if you listen to the wording of the question, I feel like the question is almost, and I don't want to put myself in the mind of the reporter, but the question is almost like a layup question. To say, to get the response we all know he's going to say. It was almost like the reporter was like, here, just tell us how much you like Tibbs. Almost. And instead, it really pissed off Brunson. I think it actually speaks more than just his answer. So listen to the clip, listen to the question, listen to Jalen Brunson's response.
You talk about the confidence, obviously. I feel like nobody takes more criticism than Tom. And this team obviously has turned around during his tenure. Do you kind of feel that going forward, he's the same guy to lift you guys the rest of the way, the next level?
Is that a real question right now? You just asked me if I believe that if he's the right guy. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Come on.
Yeah, so, I mean, and if you haven't seen the video, it's on social media. You could see it in his face. He's annoyed at the question. He's pissed off that the question's being even asked, and you could tell by his response that's how he handled it. But that question could have been worded completely different. That was very much, obviously, there's been a lot of success. Obviously, he's helped turn the team around. Do you still believe he's that guy? Like, that is, do you still think he's that guy who's done a great job? Like, that's an easy way to ask that question. He could have easily said, despite the success, there's been a lot of questions about how Tibbs handles the bench and how many minutes you guys play and how exhausted you are and offensive adjustments. I mean, with all these things swirling, do you still believe that he's the best head coach for this job? Like, there's a lot of different ways to word that question to make it, hey, Tibbs had a bad series. He praised Tibbs and the job he did and then was like, yeah, just reassure us that you feel that way. And that still pissed off Jalen Brunson. Like, just the idea that the question even either needed to be asked or was asked, or just the idea that someone would dare even bring up the subject of how he felt about Tibbs annoyed the hell out of him. And I'm not sure there's another person with more pull in this organization right now than Jalen Brunson. So I don't know. I'm sure there are voices inside this front office that feels like he's slow on adjustments. Clearly, Mikal Bridges feels like the minutes is an issue. I'm sure he's not alone, either on the team or in the organization. So I'm sure there's going to be discussions about how to move forward, and especially because they can't, it's going to be hard to change the team. I had a call earlier in the show, just, trade Carl Anthony Towns and, bring in Giannis. Like, okay, like that's easy to do. Like, these guys are probably going to play together. And to me, the most important thing for next year is to figure out a way to get them both, Carl Anthony Towns and Brunson, on the floor at the same time, dynamic offensively. That's like the number one thing I want. Figure out a way to play that two-man game, pick and roll, whatever. Become a very dynamic offensive threat between the two of them because they're both defensive liabilities. And if you only have one involved in the offense when they're on the floor, it's a net negative in many ways because it's two defensive liabilities with only one offensive threat. So they've got to figure that out. And I'm sure there's somebody inside the organization who believes Tibbs isn't the kind of coach to figure that out. So we'll see what happens with him. But Jalen Brunson clearly has him in his corner. And, I mean, I think there's been enough success to give him year two with this group.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Oh, boy. 4:52. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Just another few minutes as we take it to the warm-up show at 5. Again, mostly Knicks today. Pretty much all Knicks today as we come to grips with the end of the season, the end of the ride, the end of the fun that was reacting. Every night it was either reacting to a game, previewing a game. It was a lot of fun, and we haven't had that much fun in a long time around here to go this long, this deep, to get to an Eastern Conference Finals. And to have it end the way it ended on Saturday night really just was a kicked to the junk. That was an awful night, that second half. Awful game. But now, you know me, it is baseball season. It is now fully baseball season. So we'll get more into it. Obviously, 5 hours of a five-hour midnight ride tomorrow. We'll get more into the series with the, obviously, the Dodgers now and the Mets tomorrow night. We'll probably ride along with the end of that game, which is always fun. I don't get a chance to do that much. But obviously, coming off the rematch of the World Series last year in a series that, let me just say this real quick. We'll get into some different things tomorrow with it because Ryan Yarbrough was just amazing and has been amazing as a starter for the New York Yankees, and it really changes who they are. I did talk a little bit about the game Friday night when I did the Saturday show, but ultimately the point is, like, we get too hung up, Yankee fans, we get too hung up, Met fans too, but we get too hung up on these series in May. I know you'd like to make a statement. I understand no one is more annoyed at the Dodgers and how they handled after the World Series than me. I thought they were classless. I thought they were the worst example of or the best example of sore winners I've ever seen in my life. And I wanted to go in there and beat the crap out of them. Of course I did. I'm a Yankee fan. I wanted to go in there and beat the crap out of them. They had a four-run lead with their ace on the mound. Max Fried had his worst start of the year. He hadn't given up more than two runs in any game this year. He gave up six. He didn't have it. They gave him a lead. The ace got hit around. It happens. It's rare, but it happens. And then Will Warren wasn't ready for the moment, and they had a miserable game on Saturday. This doesn't mean anything. As we talk about the Knicks and the Celtics, right, they kicked the crap out of the Knicks all season long. And then what happened in the postseason? If they would have won this series, it wouldn't have promised some sort of glory against the Dodgers if they meet again in the World Series, nor does losing this series mean they can't win it. Saturday was ugly. It was frustrating to watch Max Fried not be able to close it, but we put importance on these games in May that don't have them. They just don't. The series against Cleveland, the series against Boston, believe it or not, are more important than the series against the National League West team that they'll only see again if they get to the World Series. And the Dodgers get to the World Series. The Yankees could win a championship. Let's hope it happens. The Yankees could win a championship and never see the Dodgers again. This is not a referendum on everything they do. It's not a referendum on anything other then for two of the 3 days, the Dodgers were the better team. That's it. We get so hung up on this stuff. We get so mad. It's a series in May and June. It doesn't mean a damn thing. They're both going to be completely different teams by the time they would see each other in the World Series. And the Yankees have beat good teams. The Yankees have an excellent record against teams over 500. The Yankees have beat the San Diego Padres, and the Yankees have beat the Mets. This isn't just they can't beat good teams. They lost two out of three to the Dodgers, and we act like it's the end of the world. It drives me crazy. Nobody's happy getting your ass kicked on a Saturday. I wasn't happy about it. I didn't like seeing Max Fried blow the game. But we want to take like these answers from these series when, and honestly, they don't mean anything. It's how you're playing over the course. The Yankees have now won 17 of 23. That's more important to me than who won the last two. It's more important to me than Ryan Yarbrough is becoming a legitimate starter for this team. And however long it lasts, he's dramatically helping them. Whether it lasts long enough, hopefully, for Luis Gil to come back, or lasts long enough to get to the trade deadline, he has been, in five starts as the New York Yankee, huge for them. Rice continues to hit. Now they're dealing with a Weaver injury. They're dealing with a Dominguez injury. Those are far more to Ryan Yarbrough's performance, and those two injuries are far more important than who won two of three. We get too wrapped up in the stuff and we act like they are as meaningful as we pretend them to be. They're not. They're just not. But they got beat up on Saturday, that's for sure, and Friday night. And, you know, Max Fried just didn't have it, and that's what bothered me too. Like, I took calls on Saturday, like, hey, it wasn't that Max Fried didn't have it. He just finally faced a good opponent. Like, get the hell out of here. He beat the Mets. He beat the Padres. Are we saying they're not good opponents? It's ridiculous. He faced the Tigers and gave up two runs. He faced the Seattle Mariners and gave up a run. Look at them now. Cal Raleigh's got the most home runs in baseball. We act like this means something. The Dodgers got swept by the Angels. If the Yankees got swept by the Angels, we'd all be ready to jump off a bridge. It's baseball. It doesn't mean there aren't important series. It doesn't mean that you can't make a statement at some point. But against the National League team in May, I understand the history they just had. It's a foregone conclusion. They just got swept by the Angels, and they got injuries out the wazoo and the pitching staff. There's no guarantee that the Dodgers are back in the World Series. The Yankees can win a championship and never play the Dodgers again. They're not competing with them for the division. They're not competing with them for anything. It's a much bigger series for the Mets coming up than it is the Yankees. Ohtani is one hell of a player, and they did put on one hell of a show. That is true. And Ryan Yarbrough was remarkable, and what he's doing right now is crazy. But thankfully, that series is over. And thankfully for the Mets, too. Who the hell needs to play the worst team in baseball? It's no fun. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. We'll try and get over it, Knicks fans. We'll try and get over the misery that was Saturday night and the disappointment in not being able to take advantage of this opportunity they had to get back to the NBA Finals. Frustrating. We'll try and continue to talk about that tomorrow and what they could do and the head coach. We'll get to the baseball as well. Thank you, Fliegerman. I'll see you tomorrow midnight. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.